In this episode of COL Drag Race Tea Time, I'll praise the diva. Grab your fans as the queens take you to church. Gertie and Damon testify about this parody of public access evangelical talk shows. Watch as the Cubs witness the girls on Brittany and Mariah. Which queen is on the fringes of damnation? Clap and praise the sisters of COL Drag Race Tea Time Season 11, Episode 3, starts now.
RuPaul Drag Race.
Hey, Kitty Girls, it's Sunday, March 17th, 2019, and welcome to Cubs Out Loud Drag Race Tea Time, Season 11, Episode Number 3, also known as Diva Worship.
Hallelujah.
For those of you that don't know who these two fabulous co-stars of the podcast are, my name's Gary, and with me is...
It's Damon. Praise be to Shania, Mariah, Aaliyah, whatever. Anyway, you know what I mean.
Pick your diva girl. Divas.
No, I can't.
My. Okay.
Well, I'm fair, bitch.
Listen to you. All right. Well, we're sorry that we're tardy to the party. We have so much to get through and had technical difficulties and all the rest of that jazz. So we're
here now.
Eric in the live chat. Can I get a Brittany?
Hallelujah.
Okay, Shangie.
It's Brittany, bitch.
Yeah, listen to you. All right, so we got so many things to cover. We're going to jump right in.
Yes.
Mini challenge kittens.
The year is 1990, and I'm working the backstage door after a sold-out concert by the super hot girl group Seduction. For today's mini challenge, you need to do and say whatever it takes to sweet talk your way in. In the end, the two queens with the funniest powers of persuasion win.
So
before you go there, before we go,
okay.
I have some fun, interesting news to say about this particular thing. So so we've been watching Drag Race for a while. You and I and Jim and I have been watching Drag Race for quite a while, many years. And it occurred to Jim on Friday when we were watching this episode that he knows Michelle Visage.
Come again?
I am one with him. I am 1 degree separated from Michelle Visage. And you want to know how? How, Damon? So if you go to her, if you go to her fun little Wikipedia page, which I'm about to do right now because I forgot. Michelle Visage's real name is Michelle Shupak. And she attended the American Musical and Dramatic Academy in Manhattan. Guess who else attended the American Musical and Dramatic Academy in Manhattan?
I can't give that away because that would be a spoiler.
No, but my partner, Jim, did.
Oh.
Around the same time as she did. So he knew her when she was doing Seduction. When she started up with Seduction and everything. But he didn't recognize Michelle Visage as Michelle Shupak. He knew her as Michelle Shupak.
Right.
Which is her original name, everyone, by the way. Not really a spoiler alert. It's on everywhere.
Right.
So it just so happened on Friday's episode while we were watching it that he made the connection. So I am one degree separated from the wonderful Michelle Visage.
And I'm sure that just tickles you to no end.
It tickles me to death. And Jim was saying it all weekend. It's been wonderful. But yeah. Yay, everyone.
Yay. Well, congratulations on the revelation that the man in your life at one time knew. Like, firsthand. Yes.
Yeah. Ruth. Tina was a blonde and all that stuff. So, yeah.
Wow.
When she was the, if you read the Wikipedia page, she was a Madonna lookalike.
Oh, yes. I do think I remember hearing something about that.
She was 16 when she won a Madonna lookalike competition.
Hmm.
So there you go.
Well, so as Ruth says, for the mini challenge, the whole point is to try to get into the after party after a concert, and Ruth is the doorman. What could go wrong?
Everything.
Yes, very much so. So, task is 15, what is it, 15 minutes quick drag, 15 mm-hmm. or 20, I can't remember which.
15.
And they have to quickly have a get up. And notably, Rue says that there will be two queens that win, and the whole point is to be funny. Mm-hmm. So it's not technically to actually get permission to get in. You just have to be funny trying to get permission to come
mm-hmm.
crash the party. So, in alphabetical order, as we fly through these, Akira C. Davenport.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember what she did.
Ariel Versace. Did horrible British accent thing, and I think she was trying to be Michelle Visage, which made no sense at all. Like, she kept her back to the door, to the camera, and was, like, twerking while talking in an English accent that was really
Question
shitty.
Marks.
Yes.
Question marks.
Yes.
Like, who, what? What is this?
Yeah. Doesn't make any sense. Brooklyn Heights cracked my ass up because she completely pulled out this, like, Fargo, North Dakota, Canadian, like, personality voice and is apparently a female hockey player. Is that what she said? I think.
Yeah. On the moose knuckles.
It's just so messed up. And I was cracking up. I was like, all right, that's funny. Like, it don't make no sense, but it's funny. Honey Davenport. She was told out of 9.5 reasons, if I remember correctly, out of 9.5 reasons that she has to get in, she has a half of one called her butt. When she twerked. That did not necessarily go over. Mercedes Amon Diamond.
I will say this much about Mercedes. She made me laugh when she spelled her name wrong or weird, and RuPaul went, Mercedes? She was saying her name weirdly, and then
right.
I was like, okay. Yeah. Like, that was cute. That was cute.
Yeah. And then I got a theory on Mercedes, but I'll come back to that later. And then there's Miss Nita West. Long-lost love child, apparently, of Michelle Visage. Prior to her seduction, like, you know, fame.
She's my mom.
She's my mom.
She's my mom.
You gonna let me in? I know. It was kind of comedy gold in a way. Plastique Tiara. This was so short and so stupid.
But it's so cute. It's meant to be kind of like the Japanese anime kind of thing, which I got. I got it.
I'm glad you, like, did, because
right
I
off
didn't.
The bat. Because I was like, oh, okay, it works, kind of.
If you understand the reference, it works. I didn't understand the reference. As soon as you said it, I was like, oh, now I kind of get it.
Yeah.
Raja O'Hara. Girl, she was serving Streetwalker Realness, and it cracked me up to no end. And I love how Rue clocked that it was a rabbit fur coat. Mm-hmm. And then yeah. Raja played right along. She's like, "Jay, this is my good coat.
My good fur.
My good fur." I was like, "Oh, fur. No, honey. No, no, no." But it was funny. Scarlet Envy, I don't know what this was. This made no sense to me. And the only thing they showed is that she got yelled at for loitering. I was like, okay. Sugar Cane. I love how she guessed Tig Old Bitties was the password. I was like, good guess, but wrong. But that would be,
Tig Old Bitties.
I know. Speaking of such things, and then there's Silky Nutmeg Ganache, who thought maybe that the Bazungas would get her in, which immediately was shot down. And then her and Rue kind of get into it, and Rue's like, and she's, you know, she's like, I'll knock this door down like a football player. Rue's like, I'd like to see you try. And then immediately Silky drops like the drag queen persona and goes full like masculine butch and is like, oh yeah. And I was like, oh no, honey, here it comes. And sure as shit, she ran at the wall, which, mind you, can be blown over rather easily. And, yes, like, bounces off of it. I'm glad they had a camera angle to catch her, like, nearly taking out the set. I was like, no, honey. No. It was, but it was funny. And then I honestly loved how Silky handled, I heard you say I could come in. I'm coming in. And she pushed open the door, which kind of messed things up because the door was never meant to open. It wasn't until that moment did I understand none of y'all was ever going to get in. It didn't matter how good you were. That was not the whole task. It wasn't to try to get in. It was just to be funny. Mm-hmm. And so Silky pushing the door open, you know, on the camera and stuff, I thought it was funny in that case. Oh, Vanessa.
You like calling her Vanessa.
I do. I like mashing up Vanessa and Vanji. Because I'm over the whole Vanji thing, and like, she's really grown on me this season. And so I was highly amused by she's guessing names to songs and just fucking it up.
Name five seduction songs. Bitch, you name one. Name more than one.
Right.
That's my...
That made me laugh when Rue was like, none of y'all know the names of songs. I was like, woo, that was shady. And then last but not least, Evie Oddly showing up as a pregnant woman who wanted Michelle Visage to sign her baby, who wasn't born yet, notably. Yeah.
Perfect capture, by the way.
Oh, yeah. It's a thing.
That was so fun. I will own that the challenge was funny.
So what did you think overall of the challenge?
Oh, God. It ain't pretty. So it wasn't pretty, right. But it works sometimes. Sometimes it's meant to be like, oh, haha, you know, the idea is to be funny. Like the buck teeth on Nina West, the whole, like we saw with Evie, the whole like, I'm pregnant and picking at her nose and whatever. And, you know, sometimes it's just, you don't have to be pretty. You never need to be pretty. It's quick drag, so you're not going to get everything perfectly done in 15 minutes because you got to not only get a mug on, you got to get an outfit on and a wig on and all that stuff.
And have a character.
And have something to do.
And I don't know what order they went in. Like, I don't know if they showed them in the order that they actually did the challenge or if they went in alpha order. But, like, if you're one of the first two or three people, you have to be Red D. With a conceptual character. The later you are in the lineup, the easier it is for you to spend time thinking about what you're going to say and what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. So there's more advantage to not be first, so to speak. I said for the mini challenge, over the top doesn't win. Very interesting. Because I honestly thought that Silky was going to be one of the two, and she wasn't.
Yeah, that's true.
I think she went too far. Like while it is good television, and it might be kind of comedy gold, I think it was kind of pushing things, and that's what I mean by like over the top doesn't win. Like I thought that Silky was going to be one of the top two, and instead she wasn't. The winners this week were Nina West and Raja O'Hara, and they each get a $1,500 gift card from JJ Malibu. Ding. So yeah, it was fun. It was a cute, quick mini, you know, challenge. It went relatively fast. Nina West did get a lot of like camera time, I felt, compared to some of the other girls, but she also gave them a lot to work with.
True.
You know, with the whole notebook written in pen. Like maternity test, she's my mom, and then put on those goofy glasses and cried and carried on. And I loved how Rue's last comment was about, you know, I'm gonna get security and maybe a dentist for you. Like that I thought that that was fun, to say the least. And then we quickly moved on to
the main challenge.
Yes.
For this week's Maxi Challenge, you'll be starring in two She-Vangelical talk shows.
Oh, yeah!
Where you will preach and teach the children about the divine pop diva of your choice.
What could go wrong?
Everything.
Well, yeah, we'll get to that. So the Maxi Challenge is live diva She-Vangelical talk show. Live is important because, like, as it was said, you have no retakes. Like, you have no practice. Once you're on set, from the moment they say action, like, it just goes. And luckily there's three segments. So the first segment is the host. The second segment is a conversion. The third segment is a musical number. Actually, four segments. And then they do a wrap-up with the musical kind of thing. So one team was well-rehearsed. And one team was not prepared, really, to say the least.
Oh, girl.
Now, before we get into the actual challenge itself, I do want to give a shout of recognition of this moment that cracked my ass up to no end. So when we get to pick teams, and it's Raja and Nina, these are the last two contestants to be picked. Akira C. Davenport is who I call AKA Pissy.
Yeah.
And then we've got Mercedes, AKA Clueless.
Yep.
This moment made me laugh so hard because Mercedes is looking at the groups. Akira is looking at something else that's going on. I don't know what it is, but it has completely distracted her. And it isn't even RuPaul. It's like the crew, the production. But the way she's standing there, nonplussed, hands with the clutch. I was just like, "Ooh, she is not happy about being bottom, like last two picked."
She is not. She was not having this. .com That face is full on like bitch like face. Like I don't give I don't understand. I don't get no fucks, but I don't understand. Like this is how we're gonna play this. Okay, okay, that's how we're gonna play this. That's what that face is saying.
Yeah. And God everything that you believe in, bless it on Mercedes, because she just I'm here. So, yes, you that you are, girl. Okay, so Ross Matthews solo directs the live She-Vangelical talk shows. I thought he did a really good job.
Yes.
He had to give very little notes to one group and decided to not, it appears in the edit, give many notes to the other group, except at the very end there was a stinger on the note. That I think was completely worth it. So, that being said,
that was one of the shadiest things I have heard on this show in a long fucking time.
Okay, you say shade, I say truth.
Truth can be shady. That's what I always say.
Well, yeah.
When you say something along those lines, that's just like meant to like throw like. Like, you need to get better. Like, Okay, anyway.
Yes.
Right along.
So, first group up is It's Britney Bitch Network, the IBBN.
IBBN.
At first, I didn't understand this logo, but that's because I guess I'm not a big follower of Britney. I guess Britney's a big, like, Frappuccino drinker or something like that. So, I was like, oh, it's cute. It's kind of fun. So Team Britney is made up of Nina, Brooke, Evie, Silky, Ariel, Mercedes, and Vanessa. I thought the choice of attire was kind of interesting as a mix, but when you watch it in the context of the show, it all like their show, air quotes.
Yeah.
It did make sense. It was just kind of like at first I was like, wow, there's a lot of choices. Like, a lot of colors, a lot of prints, a lot of not cohesively necessarily going well together. Like,
what, you haven't been to church before?
No. That's true. That's very true, I guess. But it, because it's a television show production, meaning what they're imitating, I would think that as a cast, they would have a little bit more cohesiveness slightly. Brooke is really the only one that truly stands out the most to me because she looks like she went to like a drag funeral. Like this black kind of gown to the knee thing. I don't understand what that was about. But so Brooklyn Heights and Nina West are the two hosts. Poor Nina does not fit in this chair. It bugged me to no end throughout the entire production that the chair is so low that she's constantly side saddling it and scooting because her legs are so long she can't fit in the chair. Like, it's not really a good throne kind of seating arrangement. But.
And they can't sit with their legs, like, out in front of them because then they're all entangled in each other and,
well,
and we got an awkward mess.
And you can't man spread because you're drag queens. Nope. Like, so, you know, gotta be ladies. Keep your knees together. so, yeah. And we go from host, then we go to the second segment. So Vanessa is converting Evie and Mercedes. This honestly, I think, was one of the parts that stole everything.
Yep. The main reason being for one person only. Well, really, mostly one person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Vanessa just... it's rare for me that I am honestly, like, laughing out loud, floored about someone, and she had me going the entire time. And was it? Maybe it was the energy. Maybe it was the way she kept. She kept on talking, and she kept. But she was. She had. If they wrote a script down, she had it down. Right. Like she threw in the right enough Britney-isms and songs and whatever to kind of make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And she had this. The way she was doing it, it just was perfect. It was
yes.
Comedy, like you said, comedy gold.
Yeah. And one of the best parts by far was when she flubbed, but she knows you can't retake. So yep. She thanked herself and immediately caught it and then went on to thank Brittany, like owned it and then thanked Brittany. I thought that was like hysterical because even Nina says she's dropping character because she's laughing so much at how Vanessa is, you know, carrying mm-hmm. herself in this case.
Man spread. Hi, Mercedes.
Oh, yeah. So Mercedes was blessed to be with this group. I think they saved her ass in so many ways. And mm-hmm. as Ariel says, while Ariel gets on my nerves, girl, you had one job. Like, mm-hmm. you basically had one moment of a line to deliver. And you still can't even get the line right. But I have a theory, and then I'll come back to it later on.
Go for it.
So, yeah. And then we move on to the musical number. Dun, dun, dun. So, and I got a new sound effect. Here we go. This was a matching I was not predicting. Silky and Ariel, who had sort of been contentious in episode 2 because Ariel called out that Silky's loud and obnoxious, blah, blah, blah. In this case, I found it very interesting that Ariel says, well, I sing, and Silky, you know, says she sings, so why don't we match up together, and we'll do the musical number. And I don't blame Silky in confessional being like, bitch, what? Like, I thought you hated my ass. But I honestly, they did well. Like, I thought they delivered on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there was that. And then we move on to group 2. When You Believe.
Which is the name of a Mariah Carey song, in case you didn't realize.
Thank you for that, because I did not know.
Technically, it's a Mariah Carey Whitney Houston song.
True.
They did it for the Prince of Egypt. And there's your fun little tidbit of fact for today. Useless trivia by Damon. Hi.
So the When You Believe group is Raja's group. So here we have Raja, Scarlett, Suga, Honey, Akira and Plastique.
Mm-hmm.
So what's interesting to me is color palette wise, I think it's sort of the same issues we're dealing with before. Mm-hmm. I have no idea why Scarlet picked that hat. Because although that seems to be slightly the theme, 4 out of the 6 are wearing hats. So, I mean, technically Sugar probably should have had a hat, and then, you know, they would have.
I don't think Sugar would have had been able to have a hat with that hair.
Well, she could have probably, you know, borrowed Raj's hat. But anyways, it wouldn't have gone with her outfit. I don't know. Visually, Honey stands out because she is wearing a big, bold, bright plaid print pattern outfit. Mm-hmm. Like, so I hate to say this, but like, Honey to me is wearing like high church drag.
Yes.
Like when you got some coin and you went and spent it and you want to show off at the church, like that's the outfit that you wear. Raja, on the other hand, in my opinion, is wearing like just traditional Sunday get up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's like, different levels.
the let me put it like this. Okay. So Honey is wearing like Easter Sunday, like I just got this for this day.
Mm-hmm.
And Raja is wearing pretty much, oh shit, I got like 10 minutes to get ready, like to get to church. Like, oh, let me just throw this on. I'll throw a hat on and that'll make it look better.
Ties it all together.
Yes. Right. Sure. We'll say that.
Something like that. Girl, we're so shady.
It's a Sunday.
All right. So our hosts are Scarlet and Suga. Scarlet was completely off her game. I think she was on Quaaludes. I don't know what happened.
Something was going on.
One of the judges pointed out, like, you got to be quick. Like, and this whole prayer thing. Oh my God, I nearly fell asleep. I did not understand what was happening.
It was weird.
You could say that again.
It just didn't work. Something didn't work. Actually, all of it didn't work.
Yeah, their timing and their pace was just not not good. What's so funny?
Eric's comment in the live chat. I literally have no words for this maxi challenge other than slam dunk and fiery plane crash.
Mm. Yes, that's one way to describe it. So Plastique is our conversionist who is going to convert Akira, who is an Ariana Grande fan, who apparently was found passed out outside of an Ariana Grande event of some sort. This was the most awkward of the whole thing for me, because Plastique made a choice that apparently nobody knew anything about until they were filming.
Yeah.
And boy, howdy, was that strange.
A choice.
Yes, you're right. It was a choice. She decided to do that weird guttural voice thing. And I think the whole point she was trying to play off of was the online feud thing that Mariah Carey fans and Mariah Carey supposedly hate Ariana Grande.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, the first time she dropped her voice, I was like, why'd you turn into a man? I'm so confused. Like, why are you talking like a dude suddenly?
She was doing a supposedly possessed demon movie. Ooh.
Yeah, but the fact that she kept flipping in and out of that voice was throwing me off.
It was weird. And again, props to the judges for some of the things that just didn't land. The biggest thing for me being in this particular scene is the whole, like, why is she an Ariana Grande fan? We don't really know she's an Ariana Grande fan until it's like, oh, she's got the A's in her ear, in her earrings.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing about this at all screams that she's an Ariana Grande or Ariana Grande fan.
Right. Yeah, it was kind of strange, to say the least. And then we get to the musical number, where we have two women, supposedly, that can sing. And one of them's a lyricist. Who can't remember the words. Not even in confessional. Girl. I'll call it. I'll own it. Deservedly so.
Oh my God. This. I can't. I can't. Like, from the moment they started till they thank God ended.
Thank God ended.
I was just like, I even have struggling singing, what? Question marks, down arrow. Like, I broke that down because I was just like, holy fuck, this is just like, as if to like everything else that has been like going wrong and bad couldn't have possibly made this any worse. Then we go into this.
Right.
And it's just like, ooh. Mm, oh.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, yeah. Oh.
It was frightening.
It was awful.
Like,
god awful.
When Silky and Ariel were singing, I was like, okay, like, it's not great. And Ariel was kind of doing her own thing. She was putting way more Britney-ism into it. Which I found comical at the very end, because then Silky was holding on to the note and Ariel was finishing for Silky to end. And then, I don't know if you caught, Ariel right at the very end added, ow. Like, that Britney thing. And I was like,
yeah,
that's funny. Like, that to me, that was funny. I was like, all right, I see what you did there. So, yeah. Ross lets it be known after the second group finishes that...
He says, I have one piece of advice for you. Bring it on the runway. I fell the fuck out when he said that. Out.
Yeah. I was shocked. I was actually gagged that he said that, because I was like, ooh, Ross just revealed / confirmed, like, stamped it into stone. Y'all did bad.
Yeah.
In case there's any doubt.
You in danger. I was just like, oh. And just the way he delivered it and kind of like the way he said it, it was like holy shit. Like, it was just like
yeah,
never, I don't think ever has the directors like Michelle, Law, whoever's been directing, done this. He knows it was awful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, point blank period, this was god awful, and therefore, like, I'm giving you this piece of advice right now, you better like fucking kill on the runway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, Damon, what were your thoughts on the maxi challenge?
So, as I just mentioned, Ross was on in regards to this. I think this was a very fun little challenge. And since it was live, we were going to have this kind of, playing the whole thing. We were going to have this whole, like, someone's going to go really well, someone's going to go really bad. And what I didn't expect was for so many things to go bad during one, group's piece. So It started with the host, and there was some weirdness between them. And then, like, they were about to go to commercial, but then Scarlett had to say something else. And I was like, just... no, like, save it for the next segment. And then we went into the conversion segment, and it was just like, what are we doing? What's going on? Mm-hmm. This doesn't make sense. Choices, ladies, choices. And then the singing. And that was the thing. Like, they were talking about how, like, they could really do this, and they've sung and all this shit before. And I sing live in my shows, and I'm like, I may be asking for a fucking refund if I heard you singing like that.
Mm.
Like, can I get my money back?
Yeah. I realize that it is impolite and perhaps immoral to take my tithe back, but bitch, you suck.
Ooh, it was so just god awful. Just god as awful.
As Eric said in the live chat, they reminded him of this horrible lady at his church that would get up to sing a song God gave her. And I'd look at my mom and say, she could give it back to God. As if there was any, if there was any doubt, Eric, if your mother ever had any doubt, you remind her of this moment, because that's some witty, shady shit to say in church.
Yeah, that was all you needed was a little fan, like. But it's true. So, I mean, and if they had played it that way,
right,
I would have laughed my ass off, because I know those ladies.
Mm-hmm.
The women that are in your church that everyone knows can't sing a lick of note, like, at all. But they get up every other Sunday, or they're singing in the chorus. For some reason, the music director decides to give them a solo, and they just, and you're like, mm-mm. But, okay. Like, if they had intentionally gone to make it bad,
right, and that's okay. And that's the problem, I think, with the second group. If they had gone into it 1,000% to make it so bad to be a parody of these things, the outcome would have been very different. But you could understand that was not the direction. They honestly thought they were doing all right, and I was like, oh no. Like, no, during the conversion scene, Raja is off camera and is, like, having a testify moment with a handkerchief in her hand. And I was like, no, girl, like you can't be supportive of your team members in this moment. Can you not see the crash and burn? Like,
on the shit. I can't even, like I said, if they had gone like that route, I might have like been okay with it. But right. The fact that they were genuinely trying to pull this off and failing. And I will just say one thing again before we move on. Well, go to you. They had a choice.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that I remember from the start of the challenge is you could pick any diva you wanted. And we know for a fact, because it was, you know, revealed in Rue's Rock Crew, that they didn't know shit about Mariah at all. Like, I'm not like collective. Not like they were like, oh, we were going on a collective knowledge. Well, if none of y'all knew nothing, there was nothing. Mm-hmm. and that's kind of, I feel like we got
right. Well, I mean, and here's the thing is, there's a part of me that's like, why do these queens, where have they been? Have they not watched 10 previous seasons plus All Stars plus, like, you know, Drag U? Like, come on. Like, it is so self-evident. When Rue drops, like, fucking elephant-sized turds of hints. How could you not see the turd, smell the turd? Like, you can't avoid it.
Walk through the turd.
So when Rue says, y'all don't seem to know anything about Mariah, is there any other divas?
That would have been my note right there. Nope. No. Mariah is off the board. We're throwing all this away. Scrap everything we've just been doing. We're going to work all night. We're going to find another diva.
Eric says in the live chat, I had more freaking knowledge of Mariah than their collective knowledge. And that's amazing, because I am not a Mimi fan at all. Yeah, I mean, and I'm not really a Mariah fan. I mean, like, I know of her music, and I probably liked only her first, like, big album. And I did like that one holiday song until, like, everybody has now been brainwashed by it ad nauseum. So I don't even care for that anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I don't even, it's just one of those things where it's choices. It would have been, it was a choice. You decided to go despite everything, mm-hmm. everything pointing at you to not do this.
Right.
Literally getting, like you said, a giant-sized turd of a hint from Rue to not do this.
Yeah.
We'll do it anyway.
Okay. I know. All right. Well, that's kind of what led to my thoughts on the Maxi Challenge. Burn it with fire, girl. Angela Bassett this shit. Dump everything out on the car and the driveway and just burn it with fire. Like, just no more. It does not exist. Like, what was it at All Stars 4 when Latrice got all defensive? Is like, we don't talk about that. I mean, like, if I was any of the six of them, we don't talk about this challenge.
We're not going to talk about this anymore.
Yes, that's just not a thing. We will not be doing that. Are you ready to move on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going to get into the runway. We want to give some recognition before we do that, though. About so this week we had two lovely guest judges. They're also short. I mean, Rue's already statuesquely tall, but like these pictures when they do these promo shots don't do any help to most of the guest judges. Because then she just looks like Amazonian, like ridiculously tall. So on the right here, we have Troye Sivan. Don't know who this bitch is, but I think she's from Australia. I think she's gay, and I think she's popular with the younger set. So.
Yeah, you are correct. And I think two of the three of those, at least.
Yeah.
He is gay. He's a singer. And something else. I forgot what else it was.
So
Sivan. Yeah, he's Australian. He is Australian.
Yeah.
There you go.
So that's all that I picked up on from like the podcast when I listened to What's the Tea with Michelle Visage and RuPaul. But and then on the left, we have the man that has made so many pants moist just this past couple of days and made many a Drag Race fan thirsty beyond belief. This would be Guillermo Diaz, aka Puerto Rican daddy that could have it anytime he wanted it. Turn me into a Cuban sandwich. Press me down the middle, baby. I really don't care. Just saying.
You had that ready.
Actually, I did not, to be honest. But,
press me like a Cuban sandwich. Bitch.
So here's the thing about, I've been trying to figure this out for the past couple of days. I'm like, why am I so in heat over Guillermo? Like because I do not react this way about celebrities. Rarely does a celebrity catch my attention, let alone make me wish that I could get pregnant. Like that's just not how I roll. And I finally figured out some of it. Like I have a thing for guys with dark features and he's got a nice big, you know, full dark beard. But I realized he's got swagger. Like, he's got this kind of masculinity about his personality, how he carries forward. Although, as we'll get to later a little bit, like, in Untucked, like, he has queenie moments because he's a gay man. So, there's nothing wrong with that.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
You know what I realized, though? This motherfucker loves to wear braces.
Yeah.
So, they're not suspenders, necessarily. They're kind of like this halter brace, like... In a way, it's sort of a high fashion harness. So, and I realized that's part of my trip trigger. Like, not that that there's anything wrong with Guillermo, but that's one of the things. Like, I started looking at some pictures on the internet and I was like, this motherfucker likes to sport these things. Like, he had an all black outfit for an award show and he was wearing the same type of harness getup, but it was black and he was dressed in all black. So, only if you look close enough could you see it. But I was like, all right, Leather Daddy, I see you. Like you may not necessarily be into BDSM, but I'm gonna take a wild guess.
Oh. So it was funny. So I was watching the episode Friday night, and they go to Mr. Guillermo, and literally. Like that feeling, just like, holy shit, that is a hot looking man. And I was like, where, first of all, my first thought was, where the fuck do I know him from? Where do I know him from? Why do I know? And then my second thought was, is he gay? Can I find out if he's gay? Do I know if he's gay? So I'm literally like on my computer, click, put away. yep, he's gay. Like,
and here's the thing. I didn't know that he was gay. Not that I really know of him.
I didn't,
like,
either.
He's on Scandal, but I don't watch that show.
Same here.
So I was like, oh, okay, like, whatever. Although he was in a movie a long time ago that I watched that I hated with a passion, which is 200 Cigarettes. It's kind of like an underground cult, like, classic that some people really love. I saw it when it came out in theaters at a cheap dollar theater. I thought it was the dumbest movie ever. It's about New Year's and a bunch of, like, weird, strange people getting together. But I decided to start following Guillermo on his Instagram because I'm thirsty like that. And there was a promo for 200 Cigarettes, like the anniversary or something. And I was like – and he was listening to the credits and I was like, really? I'm like, Daddy was in that? Okay. I mean, mind you, it was a long time ago when he was much younger. But yeah, so
quench that thirst.
We just want to recognize that Guillermo
He was just so – and not only that, he was a good judge. Like, he had some funny moments. He had his you know, and just – just like look at this picture. Look at this picture right now. And if you can't find, like, the about this, like, the moment, like just, I don't know what's wrong with you. You need to be fixed. Like this is just so like, fuck.
Yeah.
I'm not a bottom, but
but you're willing to try?
Yes. Sorry, I'm going to stop because
I know.
We got something to do.
I know. We got to move on with the show. So we're going to stop. We're going to stop fan spooging all over the place about Guillermo. So it's time for the runway.
This week, we challenge my girls to raise the roof in their own diva worship TV shows. And tonight, on the runway, get ready to binge, because the category is Fringe.
So this has to be the shortest category title in the history of 11-plus seasons.
Yeah.
Category is? One word.
Fringe.
It just cracks me up to no end. I was like, okay. So Fringe is the word. Let's talk about Stomp the Runway, girl, because, you know, they gotta deliver looks. Mm-hmm. So if my pictures are gonna work right, I was having a problem right beforehand before we went live. So Miss Akiria is up first. She came walking out, and I was like, oh,
yes,
check, accomplish the task.
Mm-hmm.
Not a doubt about what the theme was, what she was delivering. She was literally dripping in strands of
gold chain or,
you know, gold rhinestone and all that jazz. So, yeah, I was like, okay. All right, girl. I see you.
Pretty. Yeah. Pretty. Loved it.
Yeah. Miss Ariel Versace. Okay.
Okay.
She got read for this a little bit on Fashion Photo Review. I also have to agree. Pretty much everybody consistently has basically said the same thing that I'm aware of right now. Girl, paillettes are not fringe. Like, iridescent little dangly things does not make fringe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a fan of her aesthetic yet. I don't know if I ever will be, because, like, I just never thought that Lisa Frank and a Bratz doll should be smashed together into a fusion to make something like this.
Boop, Lisa Frank.
Yeah.
Brats.
Boop. Right. So, yet again, we have the strange bobble-headed kind of look thing that's going on. Brooklyn Heights. I honestly actually like this. There was a bit of debate in some circles online that this was not really fringe. This hippie chick girl flower child thing.
Yeah.
Because it was long flower strands at the bottom.
Yeah. I think it works. It's a good, like, and I hate to say, use the word safe choice. You know, the outfit works really well. It looks really good on her. It's fringy on the bottom. I think I would have liked it, honestly, more if it had been more like flower throughout, like dangling flowers throughout, like from the, like, maybe the middle of the chest down.
Mm-hmm.
so that it gave the element of the fringe without being just a little at the bottom. Not that right. it was a little, but it's just
right. Yeah. And she didn't really have it anywhere else. Like there was not, like she didn't have strands hanging from the cuffs, the bracelets, mm-hmm. the headband. You know what I mean? Like it just
yeah.
There was a couple of flowers randomly placed on the arms, and so
yeah. I would have liked it better if it had been like, especially on like the headpiece. Like if it had like something in the back to kind of give the dangle fringe at the on the sides and back of it.
Yeah. I don't know. So yeah, I mean, you know, and when you get the full length shot here, like it's pretty much just from the waist down is where the fringe, quote unquote, is coming. I don't hate this outfit. I just recognize why a lot of people didn't feel that it fulfilled a, you know, a real
fringe element,
a real big drag, you know, element of fringe. So,
sure.
Heidi Davenport. Now, I do not get this reference, even though I like Gaga. I'm not familiar with exactly where this comes from.
Me
so
neither.
I don't dislike it. I thought it was very bold. In fact, if anything, I thought it was very gross. Grace Jones meets Janet Jackson.
Yeah.
And I'm not mad about it. Like she came out. I was like, well, that's a say something hat. Like, obviously it's Sunday, you know, I mean, like I was like, she's delivering this thing and I'm okay with it. You know?
Yeah. I really like this. I like it in its, not really simplicity,
right?
Just that it's all one color. It's all like, obviously, it's not like a traditional fringe material. It works well. It looks great.
Yeah, it worked rather well for a pleather fringe, you know, kind of thing. And I'm not saying pleather to read it. I'm just recognizing that it is not real leather. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think that it, you know, effectively works. You know, she definitely had concept of posing and what the aesthetic mm-hmm. was to look like, what she was going for. So, Mercedes Mon Diamond. Oh, Mercedes. this hat has a problem. It has too much fringe, which weirdly gets fixed later in the episode. I didn't capture an image of it, and I wished I had, because I would be able to show you how I think she literally took a pair of scissors and cut more fringe off of it. Because later, and I don't think it's going to be seen, at some point she has the hat on, and the wideness of where the fringe is not is much bigger than this shot where it's like
covering half her face.
Yeah. It's just not a good
this
thing.
This is a very traditional, like, fringe look for a queen. This is a dance number outfit.
Right.
Like, all the fringe here, like, around, you got just a bit of non-fringe so that you can move your hands with it. And it works. I don't hate it. I do hate the hat. I think the hat is unnecessary. I think she would have done a lot better. Again, if she was going for the camo army fatigue kind of thing, if that hat had been more like the Ranger or whatever hat, you know, like whatever kind of, you know, something different, right. I would have probably gone for it. But right. It just looks like a mushroom head. And
right. And then more so, like if the camo thing was supposed to be important, girl, then you should have had boots made out of the material to go.
Or covers.
Right. To go with the top. Right. I mean, like, and then you could have lost this little swath of fabric here and just let the black and the neon of the fringe match the camo color, like, concept. And that was not, I don't know. It was problematic for me.
Choices.
Speaking of choices, so Miss Nina West, I am all sorts of flummoxed and, like, I am living for this, and yet at the same time am very uncomfortable with it because it does meet the challenge, but it also has some things about it. I very much cackled and appreciated when Rue asked Michelle what mopping up means in the voiceover, and then Michelle said, well, Nina, she is the definition, because they were making fun of the fact that it looked like mop strands, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
This is part of the issue I have with this outfit. It is so full of motion. It is impossible to catch a freeze frame of Nina in this outfit without it looking like she belongs in the car wash or like she's on Swiffer duty or something. Like, girl. And she appropriately got red for the boots. Not in the show, but on Fashion Photo Review. She's got a footwear issue, and I don't know if it's that she got big man feet that don't fit well for drag shoes, or that because there's also kind of been a comment about, like, you know, bigger girls usually go to Payless for their shoes, which Payless is going out of the business, by the way, in case y'all didn't know. So I was like, yeah, I'm not really sure. Maybe perhaps investing in kinky boots might help. I don't know.
It's a thing. I didn't hate this outfit, but I didn't love it.
Yeah.
I wish that had some more, like, I sometimes less is more. And when you're dealing with friends,
yeah.
It can either if you're going to go all out, you have to go all out. Like, if she had done fringe with the shoes or the boots or something along those lines, and it was all pretty much fringe with the exception of, like, the arms, I might have given it props because it would have been cohesive.
Right. I think she wouldn't have got red on the boots if she had just taken whatever this fringe fabric is and put it as an overlay on the boot.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, just covered up the boots so you couldn't really see them and make them look like, you know, big fuzzy slippery things or something.
Like you're mopping the floor.
Correct. Correct. So, yes. Plastic tiara. Interestingly, this was one of the funnier moments in the show. Comes out in a gray pony with all these glass beads in fringe. And I loved when Rue does an imitation of Plastique's voice from the Maxi Challenge, or from the Maxi Challenge, about Ariana Grande. Like, it was so messed up. So messed up.
Yeah.
But funny.
The screen, you know, it screams Ariana Grande, like,
agreed,
full on. And I love I love the dress. I love how it looks on her, you know. But
yeah, I mean, she definitely delivers a look that is cohesive and it works. You know, all of this glass beading, you know, and the tights and all of that. The only thing I wasn't a fan of is, like, the wide spaghetti strap. Because right now in this shot, she looks so manly. She has these broad, squared off shoulders and this high clavicle bone. Like, it's not feminine from about underneath the chin to, like, the bottom of the bust. It just looks very man. Like, I don't know how you can change that a whole lot, but no. I don't know if she thought about that. Like,
and again, this is another classic kind of drag silhouette. The fringe in the middle and on the back, you know, the legs off, you know, open and untouched on the sides. It works. I don't hate it. I don't love it. I think it's beautiful on her. Mm-hmm. And again, she did pull something very nice together.
Yeah. No, she did good in that she was trying to answer to Ross's, like, direction to bring it on the runway. So, and then Raja O'Hara comes out as a red saloon girl feather duster. I didn't dislike it, but I mean, I'll get to this in a moment when we talk about our overall thoughts for this segment. Like, it's okay. It's pretty. It's fun.
It's been done before.
Thank you. I was about to say, but I've seen it before, so that's probably not helping.
It's nothing new.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, where she kind of got clocked on by, like, Michelle, was because.
Yes. In comparison, like, it's quite obvious what you are wearing. Like, it's not that different or innovative or altered or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the boots. The boots are fun, but the boots are not the outfit. Fringe is the category. And while you do have fringe on, you know, you're actually kind of looking like a backup saloon singer at Dollywood. Do you know what I mean? Like you're not quite delivering.
He needed a different hair.
Yeah.
She needed it to not be a leotard, but that's just beside the point. We can't get over that. You know.
Yeah.
Drag queens like their leotards, apparently. So
they don't take up much space.
Also true.
For packing.
But the hair, I think for me, the big thing was the hair.
Yeah.
She should have done something else with the hair.
Yeah. I think she would have been served if she'd had something with height. Like, you know, and like, you know, coiffed and whatever, something that, you know,
like drew a pony, the attention of. A big pony or something along those lines that kind of went up.
Yeah. Something to elongate her. Scarlet Envy, I'll be honest, surprised me. I was a little shocked, like, but in a good way. When she walked out, I was like, "Oh, okay then." We are a white girl in all like virgin, like ice white, glass beaded, this like amazing platinum white, you know, wig. I mean, she was delivering to me like this Hollywood fantasy, kind of deal, and I'm not mad about it. And this is one of the times when I don't look at Scarlett's face and think, girl, them chiseled features, like I'm not quite noticing them in this. And I think it's because of not only the mug, like the way she did her face, but also the hair and the jewels. Like this was one of my criticisms about week one. I was like, if I watch you every single week you're here and I'm constantly clocking your strong like jawline and like your chin and stuff, like it was going to be a problem for me. And I just want to recognize that, like, I thought this worked rather well for me.
Yeah. I like this. Not a leotard, but whatever. Anyway.
I liked the structured upper part.
Yeah.
Did you notice that it was matching front and back?
Mm-hmm.
So while it was a corset that was slightly not centered, but she walked away from the camera in one of the angles and it was like kind of askew or something. There was something weird about it. But like I caught that the tops were identical on the back as they were on the front, which I very much appreciated because I am tired of looking at corsets that are obviously corsets. Like while the front might be embellished, the back looks like every other corset you've ever seen in your life. And instead the back was the same structured like mountain, like double peak or whatever you want to call this. So
it looks good on her.
Yeah.
And I like the look. Again, but another leotard. That's
I just realized what it is. This makes me think of Velma and Roxy at the end of Chicago.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
You know when they do the duet number and they get the fake guns and they shoot their names out in lights in the movie? Yes, that's what this makes me think of. I was trying to figure out for the longest time like where I was getting a callback, which maybe that's not the, you know, inspiration. That's okay. It still works in this case. Moving on. Sugarcane. One of the boldest choices, I think, for this challenge. I ain't mad about it. I realize that some people got some issues with it, and I don't. Like, she got clocked for the shoes and that they're orange, but the feathers are cute off the back. Like, I just, the whole thing overall, I was really quite pleased with. You know, she takes the jacket off and reveals this, you know, very colorful, you know, Indian, Native American inspired, you know, I was just like, all right, honey,
I love it.
Like I'll give it to you. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. I actually really loved this. I thought it was a great choice or a bold move in a sense, only because you're showing your, you know, your heritage. We find out in the course of the episode that she's, you know, part Native American, part Latin.
I think she's part Puerto Rican.
Yeah,
specifically because Guillermo, I think, made reference to that.
Yeah, and it's just very cool to kind of like throw this out there, and it looks really good on her.
I didn't really have many beefs with it. The knotted hair thing in the front. At the beginning of the runway, it's fine. Later on, when they have to come back for after Untucked and stuff, it looks like it's falling a little bit.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the story was with that. Like if like some pins came loose, like the glue started undoing. But I loved the makeup job, you know, with the black line and going up, I just, all of it. I was like, yes, honey. Like, I ain't got no problem with this. And the fact that she is, and I'm going to phrase it this way because I don't know her personally, the fact that she is part Native American, to me, was like, yes, this is not a cultural appropriation. This is you owning your heritage.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's perfectly fine that you do this. If I were to do this, they'd be like, why that fat bitch wearing that Native American shit? Like, appropriately so, because there's like, honoring things, and then there's just doing it for the fun of it, and I think this is far more on the honoring side of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think there's a necessarily, like, misstep in this case. Then, Silky Nutmeg Ganache, a.k.a. Big Blue Shimmery Cookie Monster.
Cookie Monster. You are Cookie Monster.
Yeah.
It's
a lot of fringe.
So fuck yes.
80 yards to be exact, apparently, because she made it.
Yeah, that's nice. Sorry.
Oh,
ooh, it got dark in here for a second. I don't know what, but anyway, I was very much not the biggest fan of this.
I was underwhelmed.
Yeah.
Does it meet the category? Yes, it is fringe.
Absolutely.
But to be honest, do you know what this was reminding me of? And I don't think this is the intention. This reminds me of one of the funniest scenes in any comedy movie in the history of Hollywood. You need to go back to the 80s and you need to watch a little movie called Jumpin' Jack Flash with an unknown comic by the name of Whoopi Goldberg. There is a moment when she plays a undercover spy and she is attempting to get something out of a room and her blue cocktail dress gets caught in a paper shredder. Every time I see this movie, I am nearly in tears over this scene. It's so stupidly funny that her dress gets caught in the paper shredder and she's literally fighting with the machine to get her dress back out before it gets eaten up off of her body.
Nice.
That's what this dress makes me think of, because of all the fringe on the bottom, like, and how it's all kind of straggled.
And as we find out, it's a tearaway.
That comes up in Untucked. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to that momentarily.
Mm-hmm.
Moving right along, Vanessa Vangie Mateo gives us shimmy, 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 Coco Pop. She comes out in about the least amount of fabric of anybody in this runway challenge.
Yeah.
With hair that's like in contention with Brooklyn's as the longest.
Yeah.
Well, also maybe plastique because hers is a big pony. But yeah, like I was really happy with this. She came walking out and at first I was like, eh. But then when she moved, I realized the whole thing is nothing but crisscross. Like,
yeah,
there's a pattern. It's a really simple fringe drape. But, you know, like she said, she's going to shimmy and work it all over the place with her hips and all that.
And I think I think it may have been on I caught it on Twitter. So we've noticed a theme with her and Red.
You don't say.
No, yeah, I totally say it. There's been a theme, and she understands that, and I don't think she hasn't said anything yet about it, but I'm very curious to see if we keep getting the same color. And I'm not gonna say I'm mad about it, but I'm kind of about it, because I like if you can theme everything, like depending on the nature of the runway, and keep it in this red, you know, simple theme, then honestly you stand out because everything you have worn has been one color. And while that you may think that's boring, but if it's something different, like the Libra with the big, you know. And this, there's a difference, a big difference between these two things.
Right.
Now, if she wore the same shoes, I might have a problem with it. But that's
right.
neither here nor there. But like,
right.
I like this. It's okay. It's simple-ish.
Right.
So yeah.
Yeah. No, I think she I think that she did pretty good with it. You know, it's not wowing me, like blowing me away, but at the same time, I don't hate it. Like,
yeah.
It meets the challenge. But what did blow me away that I was not quite ready for was Evie Oddly serving jellyfish.
Yes.
On the runway. I honestly was surprised, and I'll get to it in a moment, about this whole, like, her preparation to pull this look together back in the workroom. But I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, this is a statement.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. I'm not the biggest fan of the shoes.
Yeah.
I can't with the shoes. But what else can you do with that? You can't. Right. So, but all in all, like, I am absolutely floored by this concept. Mm-hmm. This put together concept that she did.
Yeah. I'm not mad about it. I understand that some people were kind of like picking on the umbrella a little bit and stuff, but I was like, hey, she flat out has said from the very beginning that she was going to do different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this is delivering on that. So,
yep.
You know, I'm not upset about it, to say the least. So, all the girls get to line up. Notably, they are divided by team. So Nina and Raja are side by side in the center, and then working to your left, it's Raja's team, and working from to the right from Nina, it's Nina's team in their lineup deal. So before we continue on, Damon, what were your thoughts overall about the Fringe Challenge?
So, like I said, come through, Fringe. Mm-hmm. This was a very fun take on a simple concept. We all know Fringe. We all know that it's a classic drag staple. You know, if you want some movement without having to move a whole lot, you throw some fringe on it and there you go.
Right.
And this I liked for the most part because we got several different options.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some were hits, some were misses. My hits were obviously Evie and Akiria and Scarlet were kind of my favorites, and Suga, like these different kind of choices that they made with those that worked really well.
Right.
But you then got into some of the classic staples that, you know, okay, but it works.
Yeah.
If someone told you Fringe, I saw what if a drag queen told me Fringe would wear. And I'm not necessarily mad at it. I'm just like, there you go.
Right. For me, I said there's club spaces and then there's Drag Race runway. And that's kind of spinning off of what Michelle Visage ends up saying. Like, some of these are outfits that you would see on any night in any drag performing space anywhere across the country, at least here in the U.S. Like, and it's this leotard number. You know what I mean? Like, it's just these.
Yeah.
They're so predictable.
It's Ariel, Mercedes, Raja, Plastique.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm going down a list, sorry.
Even Silky.
Yeah, Silky. Silky, definitely.
Yeah, they're all just dance numbers. Like, they're all just. The fringe is meant to show you movement, which is fine. There's a moment for that, but. I was really pleasantly surprised when Michelle called it out and I was like, yeah, I have to agree. There are drag like performance spaces, basically drag club spaces, and then there's the Drag Race runway. And the runway is called a runway for a reason. Like, so while we have harped in the past on fashion and couture, like stepping it up is the thing that's gonna help you stand out a little bit.
Agreed. Absolutely. I think this was the opportunity to change it up because, as you know, it's not a club. It's not, this isn't a gig.
Right.
This is an elevation, quite an elevation of that.
Right.
This is the point where you're now going to be moving on to doing bigger and better things because you've been on the show. And this is where you needed to start setting that, like, bar. I was somewhat slightly disappointed in a few of the choices that were made on here. Mm-hmm. Just very disappointed. And,
right.
Okay.
So, Team Nina is the winner of the two teams. Let's all act shocked, shall we? Yes, we shall try to act shocked because we didn't see that coming. Not at all. Had no clue that one team was so much better than the other team. Right. Nina wins. Speaking of shocked faces. So Nina had a double win. She was one of the winners in the mini challenge and she won on the runway.
Nice.
For her performance in the maxi and what she delivered on the runway altogether. So
kudos to her.
While her fringe outfit may not have been revolutionary and the mushroom head might have been questionable, she delivered and she won. So,
and I think honestly, she did a really great job in the challenge.
Yeah.
She was a host. She did a really good job. She kept the pace. She moved things along. Mm-hmm. She was funny when she needed to be funny. It just all really worked overall. And she led her team
right
to a victory.
Yeah.
So bravo.
Yes, deservedly so. Nina West wins a $3,500 gift card from ISL NYC Jewelry.
Ooh.
I know, girl. I don't know how expensive the jewelry is, so I'm not sure if $3,500 goes very little or very far. But, you know. She raking in a coin in terms of the gift so far. Because I think that's her third gift win of some sort so far in the season. So, yeah. That means that the other team, Team Raja, a.k.a. the House of Mariah, Worship, are in the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Shocked. Shocked, I say. They were... I can't.
I know you can't. You can't even do it with a straight face.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was not surprised that the other six were, you know, in the bottom, meaning, you know, their whole team did not perform, you know, well, so they were, you know, not allowed to go back stage right away in this case. Mm-hmm. And then got their criticisms and that kind of stuff. So that being the case, let's get into Untucked, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
This is not RuPaul's best friend,
Rose. I feel very attacked.
You're perfect. Some You're beautiful. Them.
I do not want to go home.
You just want someone to fight with.
I've had it officially.
This is Untucked, backstage of the competition to become America's next drag superstar. Girl, if you're not watching Untucked, you're only getting half the story.
Girl.
So let it all hang out, hunty. It took till episode 3 for us to get a true Untucked episode. And by that, I mean high drama, high energy. Like, it was a roller coaster mm-hmm. ride of emotion. All kinds of shit happened and went down. We're not going to get into all of it. But if you didn't see Untucked, you really need to. This was the one episode out of 3 so far that you missed a whole bunch of shit that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, Evie Oddly goes in on Silky. I didn't quite understand it. I went back and watched Untucked again, and then I put all the events in sequence, and then I finally understood really what the fight was about. Evie is our protagonist. Ain't got no time for bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
She will call it out. She will be the instigator.
Yes. And there was so much bullshit going on here. So let me just say this before you continue.
It's okay.
As someone who has grown up in a life, you know, living in church and whatever, you've come across this moment where you're playing, not even playing. Like, this is a whole, like you encounter different religions, you encounter mm-hmm. different faiths, you encounter different things, And in your life, you have to make your personal choices on whether or not whatever you want to do with it. You can hold on to your faith, or you can talk with these people and learn more about them.
Right.
What Evie was complaining about was that Silky states that the reason she was uncomfortable and not doing well in this challenge and not bringing it was because in Untucked, she states that she was uncomfortable with the fact that they had to call the divas their god. Mm-hmm. And I call shade bullshit on all of that shit right here and now. Mm-hmm. That had nothing to do with it. And you know it had nothing to do with it. I don't know why you were going that way. And I personally am offended by it. Because to me, you're making an excuse for something that you didn't need to make an excuse for.
Right. Evie basically gets into this and says, you threw Nina under the bus, and that was completely uncalled for. We had a group mm-hmm. discussion. We all were fine with the selection of using Brittany as the diva. Yes, you wanted to do Whitney. You were second in line, like, in revealing your choice. Ultimately, we decided to go with Brittany. And even Nina got bent out of shape and mm-hmm. was like, yeah, I do feel like you threw me under the bus. When Rue came over and talked to us and said that it was a group agreement to do Brittany, and then you're shaking your head no, so of course Rue's going to call you out mm-hmm. and ask you about it, and then you turn around and say, well, no, I wanted to do Whitney. Like, you make it look like everybody bullied you into choosing Brittany, and yep. that was not mm-hmm. the case at all. And that's where I think that really started Evie getting wound up.
Yeah.
So, God bless Brooklyn Heights. This is my favorite part of Untucked, when you just sit there and you sip your drink and don't pay attention or tune out mm-hmm. or zone out because you're just mm-hmm. not all about the shit that's going on around you. It just made me laugh that she was like, just sip it away. Like,
I'm just going to sit.
Because I ain't got time for this. Silky, God bless her. You know, pulls out the line, and notably it was said in a joke. She used Laganja's line, I feel very attacked.
Yeah.
And then Brooklyn takes a break from sipping her drink and starts getting involved because now she's starting to get pissed off
mm-hmm.
because of how Silky's behaving. Then Silky instigates more and responds to that. Ariel is having none of it. She has checked the fuck out.
Yep. Ariel was so I think she was at first okay with everything because they had just won. Like, everyone, they won and they're all backstage and they're safe and everything's cool. Like, I was like, that sounds really great. And like, she, you know, I got over my issues with Silky. And here we are backstage. We just won. And I know even Nina said something to the effect of, like, she couldn't even celebrate her win.
Mm-hmm. Right. She was not happy about that. This is the moment when this is the moment when Nina starts getting into it. I just want to say this. This is a rare moment in which you see a drag queen like this. Nina is in full drag from forehead to toe. But she took her helmet off. She took her wig underneath the off. And she is serving you like butch boy haircut. Yes. It's one of my favorite looks that drag queens have. And I think it goes back to Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. Like, I just love these rare moments in which you're like if you start from the bottom and you're like, woman, 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 man. Like there's just like a hard line where all of a sudden it's evident that the man. And usually it's the haircut kind of thing. It just, I was like, you go, Nina, with your little hair. Although she does end up changing it, which cracks me up. And there was something going on with the mics in Untucked. I don't know what it was. They had to keep using like area mics as opposed to the lavalier wireless on them. And so they had to subtitle some of it. Mm-hmm. And this is a part where they got back at Silky and they were like, you've been shouting who you are at us every fucking second. Like, it really got ugly. Honestly, like everybody was basically ganging up on Silky and being like, you know, you always act like you're in charge and you know, like what everything is about you and blah, 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 blah. And so we have no choice but to know who you are. And then Silky got upset and offended, and she's like, no, you don't understand me. You don't know who I am. And the girls are like, wait, which is it? Like, what the fuck is going on? So this is the closest thing, you know, that you kind of have in terms of reveal. Here we get to see the outfit that Silky had underneath the runway number. Mm-hmm. She, like, does this whole split personality thing moment, and I'm not being disparaging of mental health. I'm just failing in this moment to come up with better words to describe what the heck happens with
at this moment.
Right, when she just suddenly decides to rip her outfit apart and come to find out it was a Capancho cover-up, and she was actually hiding this dance leotard number underneath.
Uh-huh. And she kept on saying, and she said it more than once, like, I was prepared to, I'm prepared to lip sync for my life. I'm damn ready. And da, da, da. Then she rips it off, and I'm just like, okay.
Okay,
what did that have to do with anything that was
– and I think even Evie says that, or Brooklyn, Ariel, one of them says, what does that have to do with, like, us? And Nina calls it out and says, why are we all shouting?
Yeah.
Like, because Nina – and this is one of the things I love about Nina. I'm hoping and praying she goes really far, you know, all the way to the end. Yes, please. I love the fact that they call her dad. And I love the fact that she's so parental that she's, like, kind of being the calm center of the storm and is like, why are we yelling? But like, what is going on here? You know, and then ends up consoling Honey later during Untucked. I mean, like, she's definitively coming across as like the paternal, maternal, you know, kind of Buddha the thing. See, there's the wig. So, like, for a little while, Nina had taken all of the helmet thing off and the hair. Then the hair comes back because I think she realized that she probably looked prettier with hair on and with the hair off. So, although I want to point out, what is with the glory hole behind Nina? This was distracted the fuck out of me and Untucked. I was like, why is there just a random hole in a pink wall? Anybody? John Pauly? Somebody? I know you don't necessarily watch the show, but I'd like an answer, please. I'm very confused by this. Like, because, you know, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if other people thought that I did. So, for the first time in a long-ass time, the girls go outside and we actually have footage. Mm-hmm. So Evie is delivering Detox, had it officially, walks off set. Yep. Brooklyn's with her and they both go out for a smoke. I now understand why Evie's voice is the way it is because she smokes. Brooklyn, on the other hand, I was really like, she was like up here for me and she's still kind of there, but she got knocked down a peg just like on a personal level because she smokes. And I was like, oh, but you're a pretty boy, like, and a pretty girl. You don't need to smoke. Like, it's a bad habit, girl. Stop, please. But I feel that way about a lot of drag queens. Like, you know, but yeah. I'm just kind of like, why you gotta smoke? Please, don't do that. Like, you want to smoke green, but, you know, just don't smoke cigarettes. So they go out and they have this very interesting talk. And one of the things I love about Evie is that she's so self-aware that she even talks about why she got angry and verbally processes with Brooklyn this whole thing about her blowing up at Silky and why she got so upset and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for showing the world that it is possible to work through your shit. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, to think about, like, to question and be like, wow, I got really upset. Why the fuck did I get upset? What is that all about? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and think about it instead of, I think most of us, like, we get into an emotional state and then we just kind of say that way. You know what, Eric? Very funny. In the live chat, he's like, leave it to you to be the only one who knows the glory hole. I am not the only one who knows the glory hole. I am the first one probably out of all the recaps to talk about it. So there you go. Yeah. Then we're going to talk about the gag of the season. And the reason why it's the gag of the season, because we're only three episodes in. So Lord only knows what the hell else is going to come. This moment, this Untucked extended clip where Michelle Visage looks like a sex doll. Unintentionally. This is when we learn that the six of them are on stage in the bottom group. In the Raja, a.k.a. Mariah, worship group.
Mm-hmm.
This is when we learn that Rue literally says to the remaining six, you should all prepare to lip sync.
Yeah.
And this is when Michelle is shocked.
Mm-hmm.
I will explain this in a moment, like why I'm focusing on Michelle being shocked specifically.
Cool.
This is when the six walk back and then Scarlett drops the bomb. And this is Brooklyn reacting to finding out that all six of them may have to lip sync. This is Evie reacting to all six of them. Mercedes even. All jaws dropping. Like, nobody understands how to process it. Even Troye Sivan, when he comes back, like, well, everyone, not everyone, but a few of the girls are, like, wetting their panties over him because they think he's so dreamy. And Plastic Tiara totally turned into a Beatles girl fan moment. I was like, girl, your tuck gonna pop. You best be careful. But
fucking true. That look that Mercedes had given him is kind of like,
I know. She is like, look at this fine, fine, fine man. Yeah, that was a thing. So both of the judges come backstage, which is pretty awesome. Even Nina West, everybody got open mouth disease in this episode of Untucked. I don't know what it is, but it's going around. I mean, Nina looks more like Michelle as a sex doll in this moment. Love you, Nina. So Guillermo comes backstage.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually has this cute moment where he kind of queens up a little bit. And he asks Troye, or he's talking, he's like, hey, Troye, how you doing? And then, like, he's like, you know, what do you think of us or whatever? So I got an audio clip because y'all need to pay close y'all attention and listen to this. Seriously. Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think of us? No, I'm kidding.
Are you single?
I'm not, but it's an open relationship.
Perfect.
Are you?
I'm open to that.
Best believe, fucking caught it, wrote it down.
I about pissed myself when Guillermo owned it so boldly, so confidently in that moment and rolled with it when Nina's like, are you single? And he's like, no, but we're open. And I was like, oh.
That's all I need to know.
Word. Like,
noted. Noted.
Yes. How is that mean? Let me
take a note of that.
Right. let me write that down. Holy shit, was not ready for that. I am so proud of him for being open about it. My next favorite part in that is when Nina's like, and she's like, you know, oh, I'm open to that. And I was like, damn, Connie, look at you. Like, Miss Nina West trying to get up all in that Guillermo Diaz business.
Well, he's a sexy looking daddy bear looking thing right there. Like, look at that.
I know.
Oh, get out. Like,
I know. I have already said some very inappropriate things in the Telegram chat. I'm not going to repeat here. But
I can't. No kidding.
You shady bitch. So,
no, I think you've pretty much repeated it here.
Yeah. So,
if I remember.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Untucked was pretty cray cray.
Mm-hmm.
All together collectively. This is Guillermo reacting to Nita's comment about that she's open to that. And Guillermo bust a gut. And I love a guy that has a good sense of humor. And Guillermo has a great laugh. Like, and so I was happy with that. I was like, okay, honey, all right, there's that thing. In this case,
you didn't say that. I'm looking at your Telegram chat. Just saying.
That can stay in the Telegram chat. Thank you very much.
It will stay in the Telegram chat. You too can join the Drag Race Telegram chat.
Listen to you. Nice plug. Yeah.
Okay.
So, bombshell of the season is dropped that, like, all six of the girls that were in the Raja team, She Evangelical for Mariah, are potentially going to lip sync. And understandably, the girls kind of freak out about it. Yeah. And, you know, everybody's not necessarily doing well with that that information. So, but we're about to jump into lip sync. I want to let you say what you want to say, Damon, about Untucked. Sure.
So honestly, I will say this in the nicest way I know how. I was so fucking confused about everything that was going on. Like, not that I wasn't paying attention. Mm-hmm. I just, there was the argument going back and forth between Evie and Silky about the shit. And then Silky all of a sudden is like tearing off her leotard and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, what the actual fuck is going on? Like, why are we defending something that we know to be true?
Right.
Like,
yes.
Again, as I mentioned before, like I, like I said, I was kind of offended by it because to me, you're using something personal and sacred to justify your behavior or your work, you know, how you handled this challenge.
Right.
At the same time, however, you're apparently preparing to lip sync for your life because you thought you would potentially be in the bottom. So you thought you did bad.
Because in her mind, it wasn't going to be a team that would be in the bottom. It was individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And so
maybe so, but did you not think you did well? Like,
Right. No, I think she thought she did not do well and therefore was going to be called out as the worst performer in her team.
Maybe. Who knows? Whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think she did bad. I think it was fine. Right. I think again, she's using something. And I'll own it. She's using this again to make ways for herself to give herself more screen time and more airtime so that she can, you know, do well in it. And as I mentioned in the first episode, I am tired of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm back to being tired of it. You kind of had a bit of a go. And then when you were all up grinding all on Mr. Guillermo. I was about, like, because you went from what the fuck is wrong or woe is me or whatever. And, you know, browbeating like the fact that I'm going to win. Like I had to lip sync and I may have to lip sync and shit to, oh, I'm happen laughing and grinding up on Guillermo. So like you are confusing me as well. So
she was a little emotionally erratic, I felt, in this episode, which is concerning to me because it hasn't been since maybe Nino Bonina Brown that I have personally been concerned about the welfare of a contestant, like because I'm not sure what really is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that everything's okay, but I don't know because I can't get a grasp on what's happening.
What like, it is.
And I said to a potentially future guest on our show earlier in a phone call today, I was like, it was so like random. I had a hard time trying to figure out if it was the edit or if it was literally like exactly how things played out.
Yeah. That's why I was, like I said, I was very confused about the whole thing. It very much caught me really weirdly off guard and I don't quite know.
Yeah.
But I'm officially over it.
So basically what I said was time to hit the pavement, girl. And that's what I feel about Silky right now. Like you are too unpredictable. Like you are I cannot with you right now.
Mm-hmm.
You flipping the fuck out and freaking the way you did and like feeling attacked and yet being like cornered and attacking back. Like, I mean, it was just too much drama for my taste. The drama that came from the bottom six potentially having to lip sync and all of them having to prepare was drama enough in the Untucked episode. We did not need you like bringing it up so crazy.
Making something out of nothing. You knew you were safe.
Right.
Yeah. Like you were safe.
Yeah.
Like you already knew that.
Yeah.
You guys won the challenge. Rue has said you're all safe. Nina won the whole thing. Good for her. Yay.
Right.
Like, why did we have to use something to defend ourselves against another queen? Anyway, sorry. It's just...
I know. Let's move on, shall we?
Yes.
Lip sync for your life. This is going to be in a couple pieces. You'll understand as it all plays out. And if you saw it, then you're well aware. Well, that reminds me. I should actually probably play this instead. Just so everybody's ready.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, we're about to spill it all. So if you didn't make it to the end of the show, the real episode, then just get ready because it's about to get crazy, to say the least, in this case.
Welcome back, ladies. I've made some decisions. Y'all need to step your pussy up. For the first time in Drag Race history, all of you will be lip-syncing for your lives.
Oh my God.
What?
What?
Holy shit.
I like Gabriel.
I was shooketh. That is my comment on this moment. I was fucking shooketh. Like,
mm-hmm.
like, like I couldn't even,
mm-hmm.
when she said it, I could not find the words. And I was like all of those girls back there.
Yes. Like, I got all the reaction shots on purpose because notably Silky's was never shown as a reaction shot in the edit. I thought that was curious. But I mean, Vanjie clutches her chest. Nina starts doing heavy breathing, like, because mm-hmm. she's trying to process. Ariel says she can't breathe, like she's going to have mm-hmm. heart palpitations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember when I showed you the way Michelle Visage looked in mm-hmm. the Untucked exclusive when Drew dropped the bomb on the bottom six that they should prepare to lip sync? Like all six of mm-hmm. them should be prepared to lip sync. The way Rue says it does not come across as y'all are going to lip sync. It's just mm-hmm. none of you are safe.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Michelle reacts to. Now, look at Troy's face. This is the moment in the edit when Rue tells all six of them they are all going to lip sync together.
Mm-hmm.
Guillermo looks a little confused, but not shocked.
Mm-hmm.
Troy looks like a guppy fish with his jaw dropped open as a guest judge. And Ross Matthews looks like the motherfucking devil. The look on his face is almost a smirk, like, I told you, bitches.
Yes.
I think he had heavy influence with Rue in his amount of disgust and disappointment in this challenge of the maxi challenge. That I don't think he fueled the fire, but I think he was completely like the devil on the shoulder with Rue and was like, burn all the bitches, burn them all down. Every single one of them. They deserve it.
Go.
Dead. Yes. I mean,
and
Michelle was just staring at Rue kind of like, oh shit, girl. Like here we go. Like,
oh, shook if I was so like,
yeah,
I was out of it. I can't imagine being a queen on that at that point. Like,
mm-hmm.
first being told you should all prepare, like, mm-hmm. all six of you are fucking in the bottom. Like, that's number one. Number two, now you're being told you should all prepare to listen for your life. You're like, well, fuck, like there's nothing that has saved me, essentially, not even this fabulous leotard that I'm wearing. sorry.
No. I'm not disagreeing with you. I just needed to recognize the shade in that delivery. That even a leotard didn't save my ass.
Sorry. Just, yeah. Anyway, and then on top of that, to find out, like, there may be a possibility. Oh, no. No, there is not.
All of you going. It is not a possibility anymore. It is a reality. Your ass may be going home.
Yep. And I love that they kind of, you know, kind of, I don't know if you have after this. Go ahead. But if you do, keep going. Sorry.
No, that's fine. So, yeah, all six of them are going to have to perform, as Scarlett says, how am I going to perform and not like punch a bitch in the face?
Yeah.
Because they all have to share the runway in this moment. So,
six queens stand before me. Ladies, this is your last chance to impress me and save yourself from elimination. The time has come. Would you lip sync for your life. Good luck. And don't fuck it up.
Staccato. Rue is still mad.
Yes.
If you haven't figured out, Rue has tells. And when Rue is short and to the point, you might as well just evacuate the building, go home, do not turn back. Like, no chance of $100,000, baby. Like,
mm-mm.
Yeah. Like Miss Vanjie says in confessional, girl, like, you done pissed mama off now. Like,
yes. It was so weird to me that this was where we were at.
So, like, I said, this is insane. I was not ready for a literal six-way lip sync. So the bottom six are Akiria Chanel Davenport, Honey Davenport, Plastic Tiara, Raja O'Hara, Scarlet Envy, and Sugar Cane.
Mm-hmm.
All six. Yeah, yeah. That's a thing. And mm-hmm. they end up performing one of the all-time dance diva numbers that has been played in clubs for decades now.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer Lopez, the Hex Haxter remix, Waiting for Tonight. Many a gay knows the song, has it memorized. Mm-hmm. So there is no excuse to not know the damn lyrics.
Yes.
Interestingly, though, all six of them had iPods backstage after that bomb had been dropped about, you know, being ready. And they were trying to listen. But the way the edit came across, they had no time to prepare. By the time they got backstage and then they dropped the bomb and had a little talk about it and started listening to their iPods, it felt like at that moment is when Troy and then Guillermo came back and then they were called back out to the main stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, damn, that sucks. So bad.
Stink, stank, stunk, as Rue put it. Thank you, Eric, for reminding me of that that line that she made.
Yes.
It was appropriate.
To quote Dr. Seuss.
The Grinch. Yeah, Dr. Seuss. Yes. Grinch. That's Old Christmas.
Yeah.
Although I don't think that's actually him. I think that's the song.
True. It might be.
Anyway.
So there's various shots of the lip sync here. So Raja has one of the best confessional moments where she's like, well, if I have to cut a bitch and I go Tonya Harding on your ass, then that's just what's going to happen. And I was like, ooh, okay. This is going to get real interesting. Notably, Raja comes right out the gate and immediately starts walking across the front of the stage. Because this is not a one-to-one competition. This is a one-to-five competition. Mm-hmm. If you want to stay, you have to stand out. You need to not be boring. You need to not be forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Or make an ass of yourself. So she immediately pulls to the front. Scarlett starts doing literal, you know, movements. Picture of us together. Honey takes the big ass hat off. She puts a sombrero down and starts delivering more Grace Jones than anything to me in this moment. And she's, you know, they're all starting to live. Well, no, not all. Most of them are starting to live their life because they recognize this is how bad it's going to be. And this is the consequence of six queens on a stage. Akiria is not meaning to clock out, like to practically punch Plastique, but there's only so much room for them to work with. Mm-hmm. And they're all vying for the front of the stage.
Yep.
So it, you know, it kind of becomes a thing where you're going to get lots of shots of two of them overlapping each other or standing in front of each other or, you know, I mean, it's just, it's going to get crazy. And some of them kind of stay in spot. A bunch of them try to prance and move around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just so hard.
Like, yeah. And kudos to the film crew and the editing crew.
Very much so.
For like taking some moments and giving us shots of multiple queens at the same time. Cause this was, like you said, this was an insane moment. I'm going to assume that the crew was aware of what was going to happen, that they were going to have all six. So they made sure to have as many cameras and stuff available. I'm assuming so that they can capture as much as they can.
Right.
So
I notably think that, Sarge and the rest of the crew. Yes, Sarge is still part of the crew. His name's in the credits. All you have to do is look. Hi, John. I mean, Wintergreen. But the reality is, yes, like, I think when Rue gave that verbal, like, precaution to the six of them to be ready to lip sync, when they went to break, like, and, you know, the girls all went backstage for Untucked, I think immediately there was chatter in Rue's ear amongst the crew, and the producers were like, are we doing this? Like, because you laid it out on the table. You basically said all six of them should be prepared. Is that what you're thinking? Like, do you want six of them, five of them, four of them, three of them? Like, how many people are lip syncing? What are we going to do?
And then Ruth said all of them. And they were like,
I have a feeling the way a lot of drag queens have talked about how Rue is while they're filming, you do not fuck with her.
Mm.
And it's not that she's a diva, but it's her show. Her name is on it. She's an executive producer. And so she gets to make, you know, pretty much almost the final decision. And if she decides that all six of them are going to do it, then everybody just learns to jump to it. Like,
yep.
All right. That, you know, and I'm sure the camera crew and the, you know, and that was just like, all right, well, let's start thinking like, what are the angles? How are we going to cover this shit? Because it's going to be all over the place, you know? Scarlett pretty much stayed to one end of the stage. Raja decided to, like, you know, kind of work the front. Akiria did front to back a little bit. Plastique kind of moved side to side. Honey sort of stayed to one side of the stage to start.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of emoting. This is Scarlett doing a wig reveal. So she took off the platinum white and revealed the long locks underneath. And when she first did it, I thought it was her real hair.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized later, I was like, no, it's too long. So it's actually a wig under a wig, not her hair under a wig to be set up. And then we end up with this moment. Honey Davenport decides the way that she's going to stand out from the crowd is to leap off the stage and to do a death drop onto the lower floor. And then
death drop!
And then do some interpretive dance shit. I'm not quite sure what was going on with her. But
it was a choice.
As Eric says in the live chat, Honey Davenport hopping off the stage and flopping like a dead fish in front of the judges, and the look on Rue's face, priceless.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
She was so distracting, but I don't think in a good way.
100% agree with that too.
Raja, in my opinion, was performing.
Mm-hmm.
She was not losing eyeline sight with the judges. She was going to do everything she could to show what she had to bring, because she's like, bitch, I am not going home.
Yeah.
Plastique was living her moment. Mm-hmm. Like, some of them, I think, really were, like, notably in it. Like, not that anybody wasn't, but...
Yeah. I think it was... This was complicated for a couple of reasons. One, you had like six queens sharing space. Mm-hmm. So you had to figure out how to stand out without knocking people out or knocking people over.
Right.
Which, you know, is difficult when you're like, there's not a whole lot of room. So you have maybe, if you stayed in one spot, you had like a box essentially, and that's all you had.
Right.
And then on top of that, you then had to perform and lip sync the song.
Right.
You had to know the song. You had to know the lyrics. You had to know what was going on and do something with it. Mm-hmm. And you could either do little or you had to do a lot.
Right. So this moment made me uncomfortable. It was risky. So Akiria took off her headdress and she didn't have a wig underneath it because the fringe was the wig, like making the hair. I always get nervous when a queen takes her hair off, because like there's a couple rules when it comes to Drag Race, and one of them is never take your hair off unless you got more hair underneath.
Like, exactly.
And this is not qualifying. So
no.
The moment she did this, I was like, she gonna go home. made me very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then this moment, Plastique sat down on the edge of the stage and like did leg work over the lights. And I was like, girl, did you burn yourself? Like, them lights look hot, and they're always on. Like,
yeah.
So, I'm not sure if she got, like, second-degree burns on the back of her thighs.
Mm.
I was a little nervous for her when she did that. I was like, okay, that's the thing.
That's a choice.
So, yeah, let's move on to the end of the lip-sync revelation.
I've made my decision. Plastique Tierra. Raj O'Hare, Scarlet Envy, Akira C. Davenport, Sugarcane, Shantae Yuste. Honey, I'm sorry, my dear, but this is not your time. Now, sashay away.
And just like that, it was over.
Mm-hmm.
To be fair, that audio edit is from Untucked. It's not from the real episode because, of course, they drag that shit out.
Of course they did.
In the edit.
Wink, wink.
One by one. By one.
Mm-hmm.
By one does Rue, like, reveal that they're all safe except for the last, which is Honey.
Mm-hmm.
This is the moment for me when I was probably going to hyperventilate. when she started to announce who was safe and who wasn't. Because, like, what's not in the audio, obviously, is Akira also saying, I don't know how many she's sending home. Is she sending home 3, 2? And I'm like, right, girl, right. Like, nobody knows what the fuck is about to happen.
Yeah, agreed. And that was the thing, like, again, still shooketh. Like, I was still shaken. Like, I was very much in this, like, we don't know what could potentially happen. Like, mm-hmm. she could have said, like, someone before, you know, got to the last 3 or 2 or whatever and been like, sashay away, sashay away, sashay away. And
right. Yeah.
But she didn't.
No.
We just sent one girl home.
Right. So we sent Honey home. Then there's this moment.
Oh, that poor stagehand.
Right. Right. So here's a black and white still frame for those that are listening to the audio. This is a black and white still frame from Untucked. Honey has been told to sashay away. She walks backstage. She walks down the 3 steps. There is this young PA intern, you know, stagehand that's there, that's here to greet the queen, that's been, you know, told to leave. The shadows on the wall in the background tell you that the drag queens are still there waiting after she's been told to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Honey collapses on the floor in grief.
Mm-hmm.
Is not prepared to handle this emotionally and go home. This poor girl is not ready for a blubbering, like, drag queen. She doesn't know what to do. She notably awkwardly kind of stands there and then backs away. Like,
yeah.
I think someone off camera was like, like, get out of the shot. Like, just stand there for a moment.
Like, I felt like it was like, let me just give you your moment.
right? Because I honestly don't think Honey was doing this for the camera. Like,
no.
There's been big dramatic moments in the years past, and sometimes you're like, all right, girl, turn it down. But I honestly think Honey, like she said, my legs gave out. I could not walk. I was completely not ready for this moment and unprepared, and notably was really upset because it's the 3rd episode. She did not expect to go home this early.
Mm-hmm. I felt for her.
Yeah. As Eric said in the live chat, it was nice to see a moment of reality on reality TV for a change.
Agreed. Like, this is, to me, it was.
Yeah.
It was a touching moment because you know that feeling. How draining that could be on you when you have been working for something for so long and you're not even close to winning. You're not even close to the end.
It was honestly heartbreaking. Like,
yeah.
And the problem that I had, and I said to our yet to be revealed future guest, I said, what's really crappy is that there are other queens that are not as good as Honey, yet they didn't get to go home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's shitty about this is that if it was a fair competition and there was a way to make it work. Like, for all those conspiracy theories out there about manipulation and bullshit, if it was the case, then the worst queens would be in the first four episodes going home. And that is not what happened. There's definitely a queen or two that I think is not as good as Honey that most likely should have been next to go home, but the way the whole thing played out.
Mm-hmm.
And as it was discussed in other realms, you know, the days of the team captain going home because their team was in the bottom apparently is not a thing anymore, or at least not currently. Because Raja was the one that was the team captain, and yet she fought to stay. And I think, honestly, the thing I think that sealed everybody's fate is when Rue asked them who was responsible for the problem, like, and all six of them basically said, me, us, all of us. Like,
yeah,
like they, nobody would point a finger at anybody else. Manila said it in the pit stop, which was hysterical to me, where Manila was like, I would have picked a bitch. I would have picked the team leader. I would have been like, her. She's the reason it sucked. She did not lead. And she was with Angina, I believe, and Angina was like, damn, girl. But it was so funny. But
no,
like
that was, I agree with you 100%. That was the problem. Like, I did not like that. And I don't think Rue or Michelle liked that either. Like, you can look at their faces as they're saying that. And I'm like going, ooh, something about to go down. Cause they're all like, no one is wanting to throw anyone under the bus.
Right.
And while I can respect that in theory,
right,
reality is it was not the case.
Right.
Yeah. Someone brought up Mariah. I'll just put like, someone brought up Mariah. They all kind of were like, oh, what all do we know about Mariah? And they're all like, oh, a little bit here and there. And people were lying. I'm just going to put that out there right now. Somebody was lying because y'all didn't know shit about Mariah.
Right.
Three, when Rue, pretty, like we said, handed you a potentially get out of this like sinking ship moment to find someone else, and you didn't take it.
Right.
Your fate was sealed, essentially.
Yeah.
And I love, and I 100% agree with Rue making all six of them lip sync for their life, because they all said it was all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all in the bottom.
Right.
And you're all going to lip sync.
And all y'all might go home. Yeah. That's just how it plays.
Like, I would have, I mean, I highly doubt she would have sent all of them home.
Right.
Like, I'm just going to just own that. I would have been fine with a double elimination.
I would have been fine with a triple elimination.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to play name that tune with you.
No.
But
oh, I agree.
Like, when Raja got saved, and then Scarlett got saved. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay. You know, like, I'm not mad about this. Like, I don't feel I'm questioning and saying, what the fuck? Like, so when we were left with Plastique and Suga and Honey and Akiria, I was like, they are kind of bottom four. Mm-hmm. You know, like they're just like, when you start taking everything into account, I guess that's the way I'd phrase it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And I was like, all right, if you're going to eliminate four, oh, maybe we're going to eliminate three. Maybe we're going to eliminate two. And that was not the case. So in the end was predictable in that a queen went home.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had our third elimination. And Honey is no longer with us.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. as I was saying to our yet-to-be-revealed future guest in the season, talk about being an asshole and teasing shit. The thing is that this person and I agree that Honey is actually very talented.
Yeah.
But just got a shitty hand. Mm-hmm. Like, And had one of the best, like, last comments walking off and told all the rest of the girls, do not let yourself get in your own way. Like, and I'm paraphrasing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That, you know, basically she was like, just don't do what I did. Don't fuck it up, girl.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. That was the lip sync. Yeah. So, Damon, are you ready to move on to our last segment?
Sure am.
Okay. All right, honey, it's time for snaps and eye rolls, a.k.a. the hits and misses. What was a high? What was a low? Damon, what are you giving snaps to?
So my snaps actually go to Miss Evie's jellyfish runway. Mm-hmm. She went, pulled out all the stops. She went all out for it. She gave us – I mean, honestly, she did a lot for this, and I am – happy 100% that she did all this. I loved it. I thought it was a really interesting, fun take on Fringe. Mm-hmm. So kudos to her for that and this.
Now, when you call it Fringe, are you really talking about the Fringe, or are you talking about this Fringe moment on the screen?
I'm actually talking about the Fringe. But okay. This was a quite fun, like, funny, like, moment during the show.
Girl.
So we find out that Evie, in order to get the do the runway and do it the way she wants to, she has to paint her body pink. Her entire body.
She is going full on Avatar, head to toe, body painted, pink.
And we get this, like, moment of Alaska in season 5 realness with the dick hanging out and obviously censored. Right?
To be fair, she's not helicoptering while standing on a table.
True.
I think that's how that happened back then. I can't quite recall. But instead, Evie kept saying, it's going to get real personal. It's about to get more personal. I'm like, girl, you are naked. What more? What? How much more personal could, like...
And I mean, like, other than, like, getting... like personal,
right?
Like, right. Aw. You know, like.
And one of my favorite things about this shot that I'm showing is Evie. Her junk is pixelated. Like, they honestly blurred her crotch area to prevent any issues. My favorite thing about this is that Vangie, Miss Vanessa, is just ignoring her ass and painting away. If there's anything I've learned about Vanessa, she does not ever miss a moment to beat her mug. When she is painting, she is painting. She ain't got time for nothing else that's happening in that workroom.
Yeah.
She don't paint. Yep. Miley Cyrus, that's nice. Paint. You know, like, you
dick
know,
over here?
Right.
Paint, sausage.
Next to my face. Paint. Like, I am here to win $100,000. I'll play with that later or whatever. I don't know. Like, just.
Yeah. Oh, one of the other things, just so I forgot to mention this. I saw it. I forget who talks about it. Someone mentions it. There's a potential, like, connection between Brooke and Vangie?
Oh, yes. So, Akiria notes towards the beginning of the episode that there appears to be a little thing going on between Vanessa and Brooklyn. And, like they're shacking up.
Yeah. I don't know.
I told the future guest, about that I think that there may be some legitimacy to this, only based on this complete made-up idea. Lots of past drag queens have talked about how they snuck out of their hotel rooms without the production staff knowing and, like, went to the movies, went to eat, went and did some shopping, bought cigarettes, went and kiki'd with each other, like, watched movies in each other's rooms. So if that is still any possibility, and Vanessa, remember, was already on a season very briefly, if she already knows the lay of the land and, I believe, moved to L.A., then she might very well be, like, sneaking out, and her and Brooklyn might be hanging out. Now, I'm not saying that they're doing the dirty, but the fact that they put that edit in there, I was like, okay, so are we trying to make a romance that may or may not be there? Are we like actually preparing the world for, like, a Brooklyn Vanessa,
a Brangie?
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know,
but it caught me by surprise. So this is number one of my snaps.
Yes.
Number two is Mr. Guillermo.
Yes.
Kudos for being, one, you were a good judge. Two, you were wonderful eye candy, just for the show. And three, it was kind of cool to, see what I'm liking so far about the guests is that they seem to be, for the most part, family.
Right.
If that makes sense, you know. And finding that out, not knowing it beforehand, and finding it out, you've been out for years. It was very good to see that not only are you out, but you're still acting, you're still performing, you're still
correct.
You're on a hit show, you know, right. kind of thing. So it's not like, oh, you're gay and
right.
you were former like
right.
TV star, movie star, or whatever.
Right.
It's just still out there doing work. As I said before, I would gladly bend the fuck over for you. I'm not gonna lie at all. It's just the thing. I am not gonna lie. He's gorgeous to me. So yeah. Oh, you stop it, Casey.
What? Just you know.
So, but it's just yeah. Anyway, just
my.
Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. Yes. All right. How about you, Gary?
My snaps are to Nina. I basically said, "Yay!" Now don't fuck it up.
Mm-hmm.
So, this may become a weekly thing that's unofficial. I just want to pay tribute to the faces of Nina because she's always delivering in the episode. She is, you know, doing a thing for us that I, you know, am constantly thinking to myself, girl, you're killing me with how you handle this stuff. And what exactly we are expecting in this case, you know.
Her and her faces and this thing.
And this tongue thing.
Yeah.
And the licking. And she loves to laugh. She has a very recognizable laugh. Mm. I just... You know, and she was delivering all this butchness, so she's like, yes, girl, wear the jean, kind of denim shirt with the, you know, Ohio ball trucker cap and all that. Mm-hmm. I see that you're trying to deliver up some butchness and that. I'm not mad about it, but yeah, she's like the queen of a thousand faces, I swear.
It was very much a trucker thing, because I noticed the Nina...
Oh yeah, the name badge. Don't know who you are, girl. Really? So, even when she was acting in the maxi challenge, she is just, you know, constantly on and serving things. Even on the runway. This is gonna get into something that, anyways, I'll talk about this in a little bit. But yeah. See, this to me, it's like a great look, and it's such a cute boyish haircut. I know her hair's all a mess, but maybe that's what her hair looks like when she wakes up in the morning, you know? just saying. I'm not a fan of this Hawaiian shirt in the confessional thing. I don't know where that came from. I was like, girl, that was a choice. I don't know.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah. So
Nina's a cat. Like Nina is a pretty boy too. Yes. I just For the bears out there, Nina is quite the looker.
Yes. So that being the case, Damon, what are your eye rolls?
Oh. So I wrote down Silky's untucked drama swings.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just gonna own. I am getting tired of this shit. I'm over the shenanigans. I'm over whatever you're doing. Mm-hmm. This is three episodes in, and I can't anymore with you. Yeah. Like, this episode was noticeably quieter. The episode, mind you, not necessarily the Untucked.
Right.
Yeah, the episode was noticeably quieter because we didn't focus on you so much, and I'm so fucking glad we didn't.
Right.
And but then we get to Untucked, and we have all this like drama bullshit, and you like talking about like your God and not wanting to do this, and then get called out for that shit, and then telling everyone like I was ready to lip sync and throw it off all this shit. Like no. I am. We are over it. I am over it officially. Like I am ready for you to go.
Right.
Like you're ready. You want your own. You want your own show. Well, you need to get off of this one first. So, bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I said earlier today, I've reached my capacity. I'm done with Silky, and I feel for her. Yes, she has a big personality. Yes, she's like doing a lot to get the limelight, to get the camera time. But I'm done. Like, unless you really start stepping it up and delivering, you are about to fade away. And more importantly, you are pissing off the rest of the cast, most likely. Mm-hmm. And that is not a thing you probably really want to do, because the further you get in this, the more you need friends, not enemies.
Mm-hmm. What I need to redeem Silky in my mindset, I need a humbling moment for you. I need you to sit down, shut up, and listen to somebody. Mm. Like, are you get caught up in something that like hits you so hard that it's emotionally draining or emotionally challenging for you?
Right.
And we get that moment of reality. Honey, in the Untucked, seeing that like so like weakened, vulnerable like state, I felt for her. Like you said, my heart broke.
Right.
And I'm not saying I necessarily want that for Silky. I just want something else. Because what I've been getting so far is like high, and then very little low. And you're always on, you're always on.
Right.
And you are not a Bob the Drag Queen.
Well, and the thing is that the mood swings, well, you might think like going from high to low. The thing is, it's still high energy. It's just erratic and angry. Like, and it's still high energy. And it's like, girl, nobody wants to be around that. Like, that's not the vibe. And Nina really kind of came across interestingly in this like centered Buddha kind of moment where she's like, why are we yelling? What happened?
There was no need for it. It was uncalled for at that moment. And it was like, why? Why are we doing this at this point?
And I get it, because in human emotion, sometimes we get so wound up, we can't even stop ourselves. Like, we don't know what we're doing because we have just fully engaged and kicked into gear to whatever that mood is. And it takes someone to kind of basically make us snap out of it. But it's disappointing because I think Silky's better than that.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least I thought she was. Now I don't know. And it's that doubt that makes me uncomfortable. So for me, my eye rolls were for one thing and one thing only. And it's just a real nitpick, but girl. Nina. This headpiece, mushroom, bucket, whatever this thing is, while I appreciate that you dragified the shit out of it on the underside, because it's all glittery and all that. But my problem was, you kept doing all these spins and head tossing and turning, and I could easily see the structure of what was underneath many times. I don't want to see that. I want to believe in the fantasy. I don't want to see that you crafted the motherfucker out of this and threw some shiny shit on it to cover up so you can't quite see everything. I was like, but... why did you not put little itty bitty fringes on the inside to match the outside? So I would have never seen the ring and the straps and the like. I just
let her live in her French vanilla fantasy that she did a really good job with that hat.
That was harsh. Just gonna say.
What, me? What?
Yes,
what?
Yes, 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 yeah? Yes, yes, you. What? Yes, you, that was harsh. I realized I was ganging up on Nina, and now suddenly I am switching and being like, really, girl? Because that was, like, I think that was starting to cross the line. Like, that's my problem. I am torn up over Nina because I like Nina. I think Nina's cute. I think Nina's fun. I think she has potential to go far. But now I'm turning into an all-star asshole judge because I'm nitpicking on some shit because I'm like, really? Like, come on. There's just some little things that I'm like, girl.
And
then you go and compare her to Valentina. Really?
Oh.
That's what you did. That's it. Don't try to play innocent with me, girl. You did. You totally said it just now. Oh, she's living a French vanilla fantasy.
I may have to listen for my life. Oh, I can do it anyway because this is me and my friend. Anyway, sorry.
Oh, great. Now you're quoting Silky. I see how it is.
Oh, I'm going to.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the delirious segment of our show where we're tired and it's been a long ass show and we need to wrap it up and call it a day. That being said, that's pretty much it for this week's Tea Time, COLDR. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can visit our blog at cubsoutloud.com. You can send us an email at cubsoutloud@gmail.com, or you could leave us a voicemail message at 361-COL-TALK. That's 361-265-8255. In the social medias, you can find us pretty much by typing in the one word Cubs Out Loud. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Although I've been having a problem recently posting to Instagram. I'll talk about that later. Entourage social chat. So tinyurl.com/telegram. That's TELEGRAM -CoLDR. You can join the chit chat and see the very inappropriate things I said about Guillermo. If you want to support Cubs Out Loud overall, you can go to zazzle.com/Cubs Out Loud and you can get yourself a lovely t-shirt like Damon is wearing, or a Consent is My Foreplay shirt like I am wearing, or the distressed ball cap. We are just all merched the fuck out today.
Yeah.
You can also become a patron over at patreon.com/cubsoutloud. For as little as $1 a month, you can help support us to pay for domain fees and equipment upgrades. If you would promote us, we would love it. You can rate us on iTunes, give us a thumbs up on Stitcher, basically comment, 5-star, all that kind of shazazz, and let us know. Damon, if they want to get in touch with you and talk about Drag Race shit, where would they find you online?
You can find me at TheaterCub79 on most sites, Bear related. Or you can find me as Pup_Umbra on Twitter.
Yes. If you would like to get in touch with me, I'm pretty much known everywhere online as Garber73. That's GARBEAR73. And with that said, we are going to leave and go to the moon. Because, yeah.